Open your hymnal back to 229, your hymnal, 229. Just going to be preaching the hymnal today. Spirit-filled people sing. And those who want to be filled with the Spirit have to start singing. That's how it works. You know, David in his life had made some bad decisions, and he went out to fight the enemies of God, and he left the home base weak. And they came and took the home base. They took the wives and their children. And the men thought this would be a good time to stone David. And you know how he encouraged himself? He encouraged himself in the Lord and he sang. Now, before David became the king, Saul was the king. And the Lord revealed to David he is going to be the next king, and Saul found out about it. And you know what you do with the guy who's going to be the next king when you find out about it? You kill him. But not so in God's economy. So here was David. He was serving underneath Saul, and Saul took a javelin on one occasion after eating a meal, and he threw it at him. David turned to the side, and the javelin hit the wall. On several occasions, Saul pursued David. Saul was under the attack of Satan. When he was underneath the attack of Satan, notice we're going in reverse, he would have this young soldier come in, who's called the psalmist of Israel. And that's David. And what David would do when that spirit would come against Saul, David would play. Listen very carefully. David would play music. They would sing something of God. Guess what happened to that repressive spirit that was on Saul? It went away. Is that our pattern? Let me tell you, that's our pattern. If you sing to the Lord, the spirit of repression, that, by the way, which is prevalent in the world, because there's a lot of bad stuff in the world, it will go away. There's one place that Satan does not want to stay, where God is being praised. He doesn't want to stay. So anytime you sense the devil might be around attacking you, just begin to sing praises unto the Lord. O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. When Israel began to praise God, the walls of adversity began to fall. So folks, we're not to be in a foxhole as Christians. We're to advance. We're going to go into the world, the enemy's world, and capture people by grace for the glory of God. So that's what we're supposed to do. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Amen. Look at our hymnal. This is a time in which I think culturally and historically in the church probably started in the Lutheran heritage background, and some Orthodox churches started what we call Advent. And certainly nothing wrong with these things, but if you want to practice them, fine. If you don't, that's fine too, because you're not given any particular days. Is everybody aware of that? Okay, that's what the Bible teaches. Some observe certain days and some don't. The main thing is that you belong to the Lord. And some people take it on one extreme or the other. I don't think we ought to ever celebrate anybody's birthday. That might be carnal. How many think that's gone a little too far? Anybody? I don't think so. I think that's appropriate. You know, in Christmas Day, let's just go right on by. I mean, this Christmas tree business and all this stuff, you know, well, let's just How many think it's all right to bring to focus certain good things of the Lord on a particular time? Is that all right with everybody? Okay. So I see that you do particularly have some special days that are okay to observe. That's good. And so this philosophy of Advent actually starts with on the Sunday after Thanksgiving, which is today. And there's two Sundays which they have historically practiced. The first coming, or Advent, means the arrival or the coming of the Messiah. The first two Sundays were to be a celebration of his first coming, and the last two Sundays will be a celebration of he's coming again. Now, folks, since he kept his word coming the first time, he will come again the second. That's the guarantee. So, you know, in all actuality, we mix all this up all the time every Sunday, don't we? And that's fine with me. But I'm just letting you know the history of it. Now, this song right here talks about that desire. That desire for the Lord to come. And you'll notice whenever it was, this guy's lifetime was 1818 to 1866. You see that? A little before our time, would you say? But he is crying out from his heart out of Matthew 1:23, the desire for Emmanuel to come. Emmanuel means God with us. God has come in human and taken human form, human nature upon him. And he's here. That's 2,000 years ago. And he came, he was born so that he might die on the cross for our sins as a perfect human sacrifice, as God's chosen sacrifice once and for all for our sins, not to cover our sins, but to wash them all away. Take all of them away. No account on God's record. That's amazing. Boy, that's called good news. Let me tell you, that is good news. That's something to sing about. Death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus came back alive again, so it is true. You can bank your whole spiritual life on Jesus Christ. All God's people say, amen. So this guy's cry, look at it in the first stanza there. O come, Emmanuel. You just hear the heart cry. And ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here. Until the Son of God, what? Appear. That's the word Advent. Until he appears. Now you know that this song mixes the coming of the kingdom and the first appearance of Jesus Christ. How many of you know that the coming of Jesus Christ is in two parts? Okay. How many of you know that the return of Jesus Christ is in two parts? There's the rapture of the church, and there's a revelation of Jesus Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 4, we're caught up to meet the Lord in the air. The world's going to wonder what happened to all those Christians. They will be caught up into heaven. 1 Thessalonians 4. Theology is really easy. 1 Thessalonians 4, rapture of the church. Revelation chapter 4, we're in heaven, coming down with Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ on the earth. We return with Christ. Can you remember the number 4? You'll have sound doctrine understanding. Just 4. This cry for the Lord to come, and then you see this just explosion of emotion that Emmanuel's coming. Rejoice. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice, Emmanuel, God with us, shall come to thee, O Israel. Jesus is going to return the second time. And folks, he's going to sit on the throne and rule and reign and Lord for 1,000 years. It's called the millennial, 1,000-year reign of Christ. The literal reign of the return of Jesus Christ to the earth. The King is coming. Wow. Go to Psalm 100, if you will. Just showing you that these songs have been written. Psalm 100, we, as children, we memorized this psalm in our home. Let's read it together. Psalm 100. We'll look at verse 2 will be our focus today. Psalm 100. Only those who have good voices sing to the Lord. Oh, what? Somebody said amen. That's not what it says. Just to let you know. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Out loud say it. All ye lands, all the people over all the lands, is what it means. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before His presence with what?
Singing.
Don't you know that the Lord is God? That's what it means. Don't you know that? The Lord is God. No other God. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us. There's creation, Psalm 139. And not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. How are you supposed to come to the house of God? It's on the doors now before you come in. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and to His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. And here's one of the qualities, the character qualities of God. For the Lord is what? Good. The Lord's good all the time. Or He's not good at all. He can't change. He is good. We need to get to know Him. For the Lord is good. Here's one of His evidence of His goodness. His mercy. We're not getting what we deserve, all God's people say. Amen. Amen. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And thank God, truth is not what you choose it to be. The truth is the truth. Jesus is the truth. The Spirit is the truth. The Word is the truth. These are clear declarations in the Bible. What is truth? Jesus said, I am the way to God the Father. I am the truth in human form. And I am life. I am eternal life. That's just beautiful. Wonderful. Give our whole lives to that truth. I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Why do we have a copy of the Bible? Because God in His mercy allowed us to have it. And that's the truth. Many, many people today do not have a copy of the Bible translated into their language. How sad is that? But folks, we are very privileged people. Therefore, we also have a corresponding responsibility with that privilege. And let the Holy Spirit of God have His way with us because of that. Singing to our Savior is my message today. Singing to our Savior. Now, what would be some of the things that you would like to sing or shout about? What causes you to sing out in a triumphant shout of praise or something? How about this? Your football team just scored a touchdown. One of the guys on your favorite basketball team threw up the ball at half court. You were losing by 1 point. The buzzer goes off and the ball goes in and you win by 1 point and you sit there. That's nice. I don't think so. Especially if it's your kid, right? You know, when you go to sports events, it's hard to tell who you're for, especially go to Penn State. I don't know who these people are for. You know, they got this blue on their face. One half of it's white and blue. I don't know who they're for. Pretty obvious who they're for, right? And if you're for Jesus Christ, it ought to be real obvious in your life. I enjoy sports, but I don't worship them. I worship God in the sports. Publisher Clearinghouse knocked on your door and let you know you just won $5 million. Would that cause you to shout for joy? You passed your driver's test and now have a license. I took a couple of pictures of Maria when she took her test, you know, and She was so mad at me. Oh. She is not for that picture taken. Well, I want to get a picture. This is the day you got your license. She doesn't care about much about the camera. But anyways, she likes to take a lot of pictures. How about this one? Your dad just bought you a car. You asked the girl to marry you, and she actually said yes. It's a miracle. You got the job you've been praying for. Now we're talking about what things will cause you to shout and joy and sing. The doctor gave you a good bill of health. You got a new puppy. You got a raise at work. You received an award for excellence in service. Somebody actually noticed the good job you're doing. Don't worry about that. God noticed anyways. Your son returned from war and he's alive. Notice the emotional things. They're all over the place, right? Yes or no? You and your husband just had your first child. Your wealthy aunt died and left you her estate. You just became a grandparent and you're seeing the baby for the first time. Another stage of life. Now, all these seem to be proper occasions to sing and have joy. Yes or no? They are. But you know, folks, God knows we need something much deeper than that. We need something much more moving and much more satisfying to our hearts. Therefore, he commands us to sing. Look at Psalm 100 and verse 2 again. It is a command. We are to serve the Lord with gladness, but notice this. Come before his presence with what?
Singing.
That is a command. So today's message is singing to our Savior. Singing is a part of serving the Lord with gladness. I heard a preacher say one time, so-and-so doesn't want to sing. They say they got a sore throat. Well, he made some comment about, thank God you're not a giraffe and sing anyways. You know, giraffes have long, forget it. How many of you tuned in today? Anybody? Just a few. That's great. Come before his presence with singing. I got to tell you, I sound really good in the shower, you know, somebody. How many of you sing in the shower? Anybody? How many of you lying about it? Okay, let me ask you something. When do you really let it fly singing? Driving down the road, radio, boom, boom, you know. When do you really let express what's in your heart to the highest degree? The Bible says that we should have this happen when we're singing unto the Lord. Now, one church tried this as an example, as just, you know, somebody wanted to sing, come and listen to a story about a man named, come on, let's everybody come and listen to a story about a man named Jed, the poor, I'm the only one singing. Poor mountaineer, barely kept his family fed. Then one day he is shooting at some food. Up from the ground came a bubbling crude. Oil, that is. Black gold. Texas tea. The what? The Beverly Hills. You know what music is primarily? It's a teaching tool. It's a way that God uses us to remember things. Now, the world knows how to use it well. We start at the very youngest of age thinking about these things. And we learn things through music. See if you can remember this and help me, will you? A, B, C, D, E, F, G. L-M-N-O-P. Oh, we've got the idea. Okay. We'll never get through this sermon if we got through all these illustrations. But the point about it is, when we come to singing to the Lord, and I said a church tried this one night. Everybody, whatever your favorite song is, let's sing it. And the Beverly Hillbilly, that thing was one of them. So here we were singing that, just like how silly y'all look singing that today. And it's fun, you know what? But I will have to say, it didn't focus my mind on the Lord. Now, it's perfectly fine to sing those things when you're out in the world. But when we come to the house of God, we're supposed to be exclusively focused on the Lord. Because I can do that, you know, Monday through Saturday. But when I come to the house of the Lord, I'm supposed to be singing praises to the Lord. And I'm supposed to be singing it with all my heart. It's a part of serving God. I don't know how I can serve the Lord in this local church, Pastor Long. Can you sing? In the pew? That's an avenue of serving God. So next time we sing, and I do want to sing before we close the service today again, sing to the Lord. Let's pray, all right? Father, what a wonderful time of year that you've given us. My favorite time of year. I guess, dear Lord, it's my favorite time of year because there's that joy of a concentrated focus on how gracious a God you are in the giving of your Son, the first coming, the babe in a manger. Oh, what humble beginnings you took, Father, in giving your Son Jesus, coming into humanity. And I thank you, Christ, that you were willing to do it. Willing to take all my sins upon you. And not only all my sins, but all the sins of the whole world. The name Jesus, what a beautiful name. What a wonderful person. Our God. Our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray to the Lord that my heart would be filled with the joy that has entered into the world. And that joy is Jesus Christ. I pray again and again I would, and we as your people would return to you and enjoy the joy of our salvation. Take joy of our salvation. Oh God, there's a lot of bad things happening in the world. We know that. It's just ever more an evidence that our souls are hungry for something real, genuine, lasting, and eternal. And we want it now. And we have it now. It's that gift of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So Lord, we pray today if anyone's having troubles, that you would restore the joy of their salvation. May that be accomplished today. If there's anyone here who doesn't know the joy of salvation, total forgiveness of sins, full acceptance by God the Father through faith in Christ, eternal and immeasurable love always. If they don't know those things are true and promised, may they trust you today, Lord Jesus, for their own salvation, and cause their hearts to sing with joy. Lord, may we sing unto you with all of our heart, for you are good, your mercy lasts forever. We thank you for your great goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Whenever we're singing unto the Lord, the gladness arises in our heart. Singing to the Lord is a defense as well from the attacks of Satan. What do we find joy in? We find joy in believing Jesus Christ has saved me from my sins. That is a cause of joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice is an evidence that we have God in our heart. rejoicing in the Lord Himself. You know, do you ever break into spontaneous singing, by the way? You know, sometimes I try to hit some of those notes I don't normally be able to hit, you know? Somebody's like, please help him or something. That's okay. But I do it anyways on occasion, just to see. Sometimes I'm in the house, I'm walking down to the car. Sometimes I'm in here in the church, and I'll just break out in spontaneous praise unto the Lord. You know why you can break out in the spontaneous praise unto the Lord? Because that's what's going on in your heart. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So, I might be walking down the hall right here on occasion, and I'll hold this up so I get it right, okay? Sing to the Lord, the Almighty, the God of eternal salvation. Let my heart praise Him. See what I mean? Some of those I could do a little better. But it comes out of the heart. Why? Because I so enjoy the fact that Jesus saved me. I'm still not over it. I haven't got it. When are you going to get over this? I haven't gotten over it. I'm not ever going to get over it. I'm still amazed by it. All the billions of people in the earth, why me, Lord? And the answer is to demonstrate my own eternal glory through Jesus Christ. For my own eternal glory through Jesus Christ, I saved you. Well, that's cause of praise. I was witnessing to a young black man on my basketball team, Eric. Pray for Eric. He's looking for a job right now. Eric's 19. He's faster than lightning on the basketball court, by the way. Eric's dad is in prison in Philadelphia for drugs and guns, shooting, gang-related stuff. So is his 20-year-old brother. And he said, I got to get out of here. So he moved to Williamsport. And just by being out on the basketball court, playing with him, and we're friends. So, you know, yesterday I gave him a ride to the basketball court. Didn't have a ride over there. And one reason to another, we ended up over at Wegmans and eating supper together and just talking. And I was thinking to myself, now what if I was sitting in his shoes and he was sitting in my shoes? Look how I grew up. I grew up, my dad's a pastor. I've got a mom that loves her husband. I've got four brothers and a sister. I've got a healthy family life. I have a giving father. I have somebody who cared about me on a regular basis. This guy doesn't have it. Now, what that means, far as God is concerned, is that if you've been given a lot, you're responsible for a lot. That's how it works. Let me say that again. If you've been given a lot, you're responsible for a lot. So what God has begun to work in my heart is being a mentor to guys. Some of them are 30, some of them are 40, some of them are in their 20s. They're not all church people, and they don't go to church. Some of them have come to our vacation Bible schools and they're little guys. So they know about the church. They know that we were kind to them. They know that we were giving to them. And I'm talking all across the gamut here. I'm talking blacks, whites, Hispanics, Korean. You know the story. Anytime we have like a vacation Bible school, for instance, all kind of kids come. I don't know that all the motivations are right. Get the kids out of the house for a while, babysitter or something. That might be the case. I don't care. What I care about is singing praise unto the Lord in front of these little kids and planting it in their heart that there is a Redeemer. And He has come to save you from your sins. Will you believe it? That's what I'm concerned about. Jesus purchased my redemption and forgave me all my sin. That's the one I break out and singing all the time. Jesus purchased my redemption and forgave me all my sin. See, that just happens. It happens to me all the time. Bonnie said, Pastor Long, can you sing a solo? I said, I'm singing all the time. Let somebody else, you know. You're going to get tired of me singing after a while. Maybe you're already tired of it right now. Can't wait till the sermon's over. That's okay. I'm going to sing anyways. It doesn't say you had to have the best voice. It said make a joyful noise. I can accomplish that. But it's to the Lord. When did this plan of God's salvation start? Was it written when Mary got pregnant? Was it written after the disastrous rebellion of Adam and Eve? No, it was written before the earth was even formed. Think about this. God created the earth and humanity knowing, because he knows all things, man would sin. And therefore, he determined in eternity past, I will slay my own son on the cross that he might pay for all your sins. Now, in my humanity, I wouldn't have done that. If I'm going to do this and this and this for you and you're going to turn around and do me like that, I'm probably not going to do that for you. I'm thankful God's not that way, aren't you? God's always giving. Always giving. We have an amazing Savior, folks. Imagine the angels singing. Imagine God the Son come down from heaven, only a spirit in eternity past, formed into humanity in Mary's womb and born. Why was he born? He was born to die on the cross. After 3 days, his spirit returned into that dead body. He stood up and he walked out of the grave. That's called resurrection. All God's people say, amen. You know, when God created us, he created all these things and he said, it's good. But did you know when he created man, male and female, you know what he said? That's very good. You check it out. That is very good. What do you mean by that? I have created someone in my own image. That's how we know we're not animals. I got to tell you something, by the way. If I had any color in my skin other than white, I'm a whitey. If I had... hey, how do you... What's wrong with you people? Let me just tell you something. I grew up in the 70s, okay? 1962, I was born when Columbus sailed the ocean blue. But anyway, that's a little off. But all right. Just to let you know what I grew up in, the reason why God worked these things in my life, that I am not a prejudiced person, no matter what your skin color is, how did God work that in my life? Here's how I did it. He took me out of an all-white school that was across the street from me in the sixth grade, and he moved me into the city 15 miles away where I was a minority. Did you know that? That's called segregation. You know what we have a tendency to do? All the white people go to church over here. All the black people go to church over here. All the Hispanics go to church over here. All the Koreans go. I don't know if that's healthy. I don't know if that's healthy. Now, if you go out here and look on our missionary board, we don't put up with that. Have you noticed that? Yes or no? Okay, that's the way it's going to be. That's the way it has to be. But what it took me as the only white guy on the basketball team, it's either thrive or you're going to die. Get it going or you're done. I learned how to play basketball to survive. That's part of the truth. Of course, my dad enjoyed it too. You know how that goes, right? But it laid a pattern for me as God was working in my life to be open with all people. God said when he created man, it was good. That means all men, all women. But folks, something happened. We sinned against God. Therefore, we got a sin nature, and now none of us is called good. In fact, all of us, according to God's evaluation, are wretched. We're bad. Even you, preacher? Yes, even me. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Nobody has perfectly obeyed the laws of God. Even after we asked Jesus to save us, no one's done it. Therefore, our sins have earned us the condemnation and the wrath of God's judgment. But God said in his mind in eternity past, I don't want it that way, and I'm going to make a way for salvation. Therefore, in love, God the Father sent Christ not to condemn us, we're already condemned, but to save us from the condemnation of our sins. We preach John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But folks, we need to go on with the rest of it. The beginning of that and end of that is that God sent his Son not into the world to condemn the world, but that through him we might be saved. We're already condemned. And he came to save us from that condemnation. That's the good news. It's not that I can begin to evaluate my own self in a higher way than other people who are still living under sins. Because in me, that's in my flesh, there's nothing good in it still. Now that's a humbling statement. So we need the goodness and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And the angels, can you imagine them? Can you imagine being an angel? Everybody do this number, you know. Slap somebody beside you. Wake up, bud. Doing this number right here, and all of a sudden, you're going to do what, God? You're going to go down into humanity? And the Father said, when the Son came down into humanity, he said, let all the angels worship him. You don't worship anybody but God. That's how we know Jesus is God in human flesh. God is in three persons. Folks, we didn't make God. God made us. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. Read your Bible. You'll begin to understand those things. You'll understand them in this sense. That's true, but I don't understand it. No, we didn't make God. If we could understand God, we would have made him ourselves. What was it? It was that Mary held that newborn babe, the Christ child, when God came down himself into humanity. The glory of God came down from heaven and was appearing, Advent, in the face of Jesus Christ. The glory of God is in the face of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:6. The glory of God is in the face of Jesus Christ. The angels said it, and the angels sang it. Shouldn't we join the angels in singing? We're talking about singing to our Savior. Luke 2:14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Got any questions as to why God has done what he's done in your life? Have you got any questions as to what God has allowed in your life? Have you got any questions as to why God has allowed what he's allowed in your life? Then you just ask that three times. It takes a while to sink in sometime. Do we have any questions? God, why have you allowed certain things in my life? Job had those same questions. We won't turn there, but listen. Why don't we turn there? Go to Job 38. Next book over. Job 38, I'll let you see this. Job had some questions. Job 38. Job's questions before God. God, I'm trying to serve you, and then you allowed some pretty nasty stuff to come into my life. Okay. I got a lot of questions, and I want some answers. Have you ever had that with the Lord? So the Lord answers Job. And he says this, Job is trying to figure it all out. All my properties are gone. All my animals are gone. My kids have died. All my stuff's collapsed. I got boils all over my body. I try to lay down and get comfortable. I can't. I try to stand up and be comfortable. I can't. At nighttime, I wish it was day. And at daytime, I wish it was night. That's a man being tested in every way. And my wife says, why don't you just curse God and die and get it over with? He's being tested in every way. So God answers Job by revealing himself, his character. Job 38:4. Notice the where, when, and who. Where, when, and who. Where? Job 38:4. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Come on, tell me. Declare it if thou hast understanding. That's what he's saying. Where were you when I created the earth, the foundations? Tell me. Well, I wasn't even in existence. I read this and I said, I wasn't even in existence. Exactly. You got all this eternity past where there's no beginning except for when he formed the earth. What did he do in those foundations? In the foundation of the earth, before that, he said, I'm going to send my son. He already decided it. Now that ought to cause us to sing praise unto the Lord. Look at verse 7. So we looked at where and then when. Verse 7. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. That's before humanity. Who's singing? The angels are. What are the angels singing about? They're singing about, listen folks, they got to be singing about Christ and his willingness to come down to earth and take on humanity and take on all our sins and die. They're singing about it. That's why the hands go up to the Lord in praise, denoting full surrender to God. Praise the Almighty. Boy, I can't wait to get to heaven. How about you? The book of Revelation says we're all going to stand there. Every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation. Red, yellow, black, and white. They're all precious in His sight. Listen, we're all going to be standing there. Out of every language, there'll be some that are saved. And they're going to be standing there with us. They'll be perfect. We will be too at that point. We'll have no more effects of sin in us. And it's going to be that way forever. Wow. And we're going to be praising Jesus Christ. Praising the one that sits on the throne. Singing praise to him. So why don't we sing praise to him now? What happens when you sing praises unto the Lord? It takes the eternal future and it brings it back to our present experience. And it gives us hope that we will not be disappointed in what's coming. We looked at where, we looked at when. Where were you when the morning stars sang together? Angels and the sons of God shouted for joy. Remember we started this sermon, what causes you to shout for joy? Jesus Christ ought to be causing you to shout for joy again and again. And that's the who. Who is Jesus? Look at verse 36. Jesus himself. Who hath put wisdom in the inward parts, meaning your heart? Or who hath given understanding to the heart? And the answer is, God gives understanding to our hearts. If you believe in your heart that God has raised his son from the dead, you will be saved from your sins. Do you understand that? It's not your works that would save you. It's the work of Jesus Christ. Now that causes shouting and joy and singing, if we'll just meditate on that. Proverbs 1:7 and 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning, a reverence for the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. I read that voice and I think about evolution. Evolution was started by a white racist. Oh yeah, we're just going to let it fly today. And the top man on the totem pole is a white guy. Isn't that terrible? And we're teaching that garbage to our kids in our public school? Somebody ought to stand up and say, this is a lie. Well, let's go on. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the holy is understanding. Jesus is the Holy One. Jeremiah 9:23-24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light, or the understanding, of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Well, maybe we ought to join the angels in singing. Should we join Mary in singing? Look at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Should we join Mary in her praise of God? Very interesting what Mary says. She says, now I am a co-redeemer with Jesus Christ. If you believe upon me and Jesus, you'll be saved. Is that true? No. Anybody?
No.
I'm just wondering if you're awake today, because I'm starting to wonder here, you know. What the truth sets us free from what? That which is not true. Luke 1:46-47, called the Magnificat. Mary is magnifying the Lord, not herself. Notice what she says. Here's this young virgin girl. Let's get the setting. Here's this young Jewish virgin girl, probably 15 to 17 years of age, whom God said, you're going to be carrying the Christ child. The Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you, and you are going to be with child of God. That's called a miracle, by the way. She would obviously have children after that. James is one of her sons with Joseph in the book of James, the half-brother of Jesus, we would say, who did not believe upon Jesus until Jesus resurrected from the dead. All his young, growing up in that family, he had it in his head, but when Jesus resurrected from the dead, he had it in his heart. Blessed are those who believe and who have not seen. Mary is going to sing praises to the Savior. This is a song, Luke 1:46. And Mary said, read it out loud with me. My soul doth magnify the Lord. Verse 47, read out loud. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Wow. She's talking about Jesus as God and her Savior. That means Mary had to be forgiven of her sins too. Or you're not exalting Him as your Savior. That's not doing any damage to Mary, by the way, folks. Why was Mary blessed? Well, obviously, only one woman would be chosen, one young lady, a virgin girl. That was already prophesied 700 years before it happened. Isaiah 7:14, behold, a virgin shall conceive. bring forth a child. You'll call his name Emmanuel. It'll be God with you. That's praise. Why was Mary blessed? Mary was blessed physically in that sense, but she was blessed spiritually in another sense. And verse 45 tells us, look at Luke 1:45. Mary was blessed for the same reason that you'll be blessed. Let me say that again. Mary was blessed for the same reason that you will be blessed. Luke 1, verse 45. And blessed is she that what? Believed. She believed. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And her response is, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Nothing to do with her works whatsoever. You know, three times it's mentioned in Romans 10, 9 through 13, that we must believe, rely, trust in, place our faith in the Lord alone for our salvation. Listen to this. Romans 10, 9 through 13. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him, that's Jesus, shall not be ashamed. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek or the Gentile, for the same Lord over all is rich or abundant unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's close with Psalm 96. Go to Psalm 96. Pastor Tom, pick us out a song of praise to the Lord and have that ready if you'd come on up, please, when you have that. Psalm 96, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 96, verses 1 and 2. What are we talking about? We're talking about the command to sing unto the Lord. You say, well, that seems like a simple message today, Pastor Long. Well, let's see if we'll do it. Every day we ought to be singing praises unto the Lord. What will happen if we sing praises to the Lord? First of all, the devil will have to leave repressing you. The spirit of repression will leave you. Anybody here ever had a spirit of repression? Just wondering. I have. And I sang when I didn't feel like singing. And when I sang unto the Lord, even though I didn't feel like singing at a time, guess what? My heart started rejoicing in the Lord. So whether we feel like it or not, obey the Lord. Psalm 96, verses 1 and 2. Notice, sing unto the Lord is mentioned three times here. Psalm 96, 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. That's a song of salvation. You weren't saved before. Now you've trusted Christ as your Savior. That's the new song. That's something to sing about. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my heart hath rejoiced in God my Savior. The second time, Psalm 96:1, sing unto the Lord all the earth. That's every person in the earth. Must be a lot of disobedience in the world, right? God commands all the earth to sing unto Him. How many people obey in that? Number three, the third time, verse 2, Psalm 96:2. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name, show forth His what? Salvation from day to day. Folks, that means every day. What does this word bless His name mean? That means take something of the character quality of our Savior and talk about it. The Lord is good. Can you tell people that? Why is He good? Because He's paid for all of my sins. Where? On the cross. Does that make you a special person? No. It does make me a special possession of Jesus Christ, though. Why? Because I believed upon Him. I believed Him. I believe Jesus Christ will save me. He said he would. Sing unto the Lord. Sing unto the Lord. Sing unto the Lord. Bless His name means to say something good about His name, that is character quality of His nature. And guess what it'll do? It'll show forth the salvation of God. God came through His Son, Jesus. He has come to seek and to save those who are lost. Lost in what? Lost in their sins, apart from God. Stacking up sins. All ye who hear, unto His temple draw near. Join me in glad adoration. Now let's sing a song unto the Lord. Pastor Tom, come and close us, please. Sing unto the Lord. And sing with all your heart.